but the coloring had been done several weeks earlier, and the roots all showed a clear, strident silver. She was around 5'6", looking as if she tipped the scales a little over the 250 mark. Her face was set in a simpering mask that went well with her cupid's bow mouth, which had been carelessly daubed with scarlet lipstick. The odd feature was her eyes, out of kilter with the girlish mask. They were a watery gray, like a dead cod, and they had fixed on Trader like a pair of homing missiles. Bessie was clearly the younger, by around 20 years. Her hair was extremely long, hanging to her waist, colored an indeterminate mid-brown. Ryan stared at it, unable to overcome his belief that he had seen any number of tiny insects moving amid the greasy locks. Both women wore a bizarre mix of clothes. Sissy had a flowered skirt over a pair of torn jeans, tucked into a pair of rubber galoshes, one green and one black. Her upper half was shrouded in what looked like a tablecloth, crudely embroidered with garish flowers. Bessie, 50 pounds lighter than her older sister, wore a dress made from dozens of pocket handkerchiefs, cobbled together with strands of multicolored silk. Her feet were crammed into golden pumps with high heels. She was smiling at Ryan, her mouth smeared with purple lipstick, surrounded with a positive viper's nest of septic cold sores.
Can they stay to supper, Dadsy? You know we never get to see Outlanders these days.
They begged on their knees for the honor of sitting at a meal table with my little girls.
Torrance glared at Ryan and Trader.
Did you not?
It was a comparatively painless lie, as long as it was going to lead to a free meal.
Sure did. It'll be our pleasure, won't it, brother?
Sure will.
Torrance looked at his sec man. He opened his mouth to speak, but was suddenly overcome. His eyes protruded like grapes in an egg custard, and a line of pink spittle drooled from his parted lips. His red complexion shaded gradually to an interesting purple hue. Nobody moved, and after several seconds, the fit passed, and he was able to speak.
Arkadin.
Baron?
Show the Outlanders to the guest wing.
It fell in, Baron.
Fell in?
In the canyon.
When?
6 months ago.
That was the health club annex, stoop.
No, that went more recently, Baron.
There's that balcony room with a picture of the owl on the wall. I trust that room hasn't fallen in, too.
No, Baron.
Fine. But as soon as you get them settled, I want you all back here faster than a turd down a greased pipe for supper.
Yes, Baron.
Can we go with them, Dadsy?
No. Me and my little girls have some talking to do before the meal.
Torrance dismissed them with another wave, watching as Arkadin led them back to the door and out into the lobby. A faded picture of an owl leaned up against the wall of the room, just like Baron Torrance had said.
No running water in the bath or the shitter, I'm afraid. Went a long ways back. And I wouldn't be too happy stepping out on that balcony.
There were two beds, one with worm-eaten legs that lay at a crooked angle. Ryan walked past it and carefully opened the double doors onto the oak balcony. He felt the floor give and noticed a wide crack along the wall at his side.
Fire blast.
Trader crossed the room to stand by him.
What ails you, Brother Willard?
You're Willard. I'm Danny.
Ryan grinned at Arkadin.
He got hit with a rock in his head when he was a boy. Still gets a bit scrambled.
Ryan turned to look out the window.
I was just thinking that if all three of us jumped up and down at the same time, I reckon this whole place could end in the river.
The view was staggering. The first sensation was of amazement at the optical illusion that the balcony actually hung over the edge of a 1,000-foot drop, sheer down to the glittering bracelet of the river. The second sensation was the sick awareness that it wasn't an optical illusion, The balcony really did hang out over the edge of the undercut, eroded canyon.
If I want to piss in the night, I'll find somewhere else to go.
Ryan swallowed hard. Vertigo wasn't normally any kind of a problem for him, but their bedroom in Hightower was something else. Arkadin slapped him on the shoulder.
Looks like you just seen the ghost of your death.
Ryan managed a sickly smile.
A drop is... Yeah. How long before we eat supper?
Time enough. I'll call for you. The food's better than you'd expect from the rest of the ville. Baron Torrance values his meals above all. All except his little girls.
Trader sat on the edge of the unbroken bed.
Yeah, his little girls. Shit, Andy. The one could be my mother. What the hell goes on with them?
The sick man paused at the door of the room.
Like I said before, careless talk can easily buy you a ticket on the last nuke out of town. Keep your mouth buttoned tight, Willard. Baron's not a well man. Terrified about swimming the Black River and leaving his little girls helpless in the villa unprotected. And doesn't trust any of us from Hightower. Been sending out trailers all across the land. See if there was any wanted the job.
Job?
Yeah. Trailers asked for husbands for Bessie and Sissy. Never got the right reply. Oh, plenty of men turned up. Doesn't matter how poor a ville is, there'll always... But the girls never seemed to take to them.
Trader lay back, crossing his legs, wincing a little at the pain from his bruised thigh.
Well, long as they don't take to us.
The sick man opened his mouth as if he were going to say something. Then he changed his mind. He waved and went out. Ryan looked across at his former leader.
Try and remember what our names are.
Sorry about that. Your noggin ain't what it used to be. Boy, you see how your brain works when you get to be my age. You hear me?
There was no reply. Ryan had gone across to stand near the balcony, looking out along the rim of the canyon.
What, Ryan?
Just wondering what happened to JB and Abe.
They'll be out there someplace. Looking for us, I hope.
The armorer and Abe had made their way through the scrub and scattered trees that filled the area around the ville. They had seen a crudely carved sign warning them that they were moving onto land owned by Hightower. Now they were lying in an ancient drainage ditch, about 8 yards from the nearest point of the ville.
Could get some food there. Wait until dark, though. Doesn't look like the tightest run ship in the world.
You think Ryan, a trader, might be there?
JB considered the possibilities.
Maybe.
Only a maybe?
JB ticked off the points with his fingers.
Firstly, they might have been chilled in that initial surge of the flood after the main quake hit. Horses went under. I doubt they could have made their way out of the canyon at that point. Unless they crossed when we did, and I don't think they did that. But we didn't see them anywhere caught, so they might have made it to a fallen tree or something like that. Enough shit going down the pike. No sign of anyone getting out where we did, on that bridge, or tracks higher, where we ran into the Cottonmouth.
Abe looked across at him.
I didn't hear you say anything to make you think they probably got out. Just a lot of stuff about what they didn't do.
This place can be seen from the bottom by the river. Only one for miles and miles. If they came down on the flood, then this is where they would have made for.
That's the maybe?
Yeah, that's the maybe.
Young Jack Lauren told me that this should be my destination. He says it is known as Bear Claw Lake.
It's lovely.
Suki had been leading Judas, and she stopped, one arm draped around the neck of the mule. Her easy relationship with a murderous and untrustworthy animal was something that puzzled Doc. He felt vaguely aggrieved that the woman was so good with a vicious beast. But that was about the only problem that he had with her. The past few days together had been among the happiest of his life. The happiest since the Whitecoats had trawled him. They had been content to talk and equally content to be quiet together. And the lovemaking had made Doc feel, well, nearly 200 years younger.
What are you smiling at?
Oh, so sorry, my dear. My thoughts were such a long way off.
Looked